Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. Today, we're going to talk about incentive programs. They are a facet of the salary structure in almost every, or maybe even every, engineering firm, yet they are notoriously difficult to design and maintain. A survey by PSMJ found that 76% of employees at engineering firms said that their bonus program needed to be improved. To get into this issue, we're talking today with Ryan Jolly, who is an owner and chief strategy officer of Jones and DeMille Engineering in Richfield, Utah. In 2017, he helped to develop a bonus program at the firm that led to a huge jump in profitability. Based on that success, the firm spun out the concept into a new software company, OurLink, of which Ryan serves as co-founder and CEO. A couple of weeks ago, Ryan presented an ACEC online class, Everyone Hates Your Bonus Program, Here's How to Fix It, and we're going to delve into some of the issues that he raised. The class is available on demand, and we'll include a link in the show notes. So Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Glad I could join you.
So let's get into the meat of the issue. Why do so many firms have difficulty creating effective incentive programs?
Well, I don't know when it happened or why it happened, but most of the times the reward systems have turned into more of an expectation than a real reward. You want to be able to reward, it's a reward, it's extra. So it's kind of turned into a participation trophy. And we've embarked on a journey to try and fix that. So some of the reasons that we found as we've talked with multiple companies over the last couple of years are, you know, some of the main reasons they don't work is those decisions are made behind closed doors on the bonus amounts. They're made by individuals who have no direct tie to the person or the team member that's getting a bonus. And they don't even work with that individual on a regular basis. In a lot of cases, bonuses are capped, meaning that there's a limit to how much they can receive. So when that happens, the individual or team member limits how much effort they put in. They're kind of one of the key things we found is there's no transparency or feedback on any bonus amount or incentive compensation that they receive. There's no established ground rules around their bonus programs, meaning people just don't have any idea what it means to earn a bonus or how they can get a bigger bonus or even why they got the bonus they did this year. So without any rules, they just kind of expect it to happen every year. So those are the main reasons we found and work with a lot of companies over the last couple of years.
So I mean, on that point, obviously transparency seems to cut across several of those points that you made, the decisions made behind closed doors, the person assigning the incentive bonus doesn't even work with the employee. There are no ground rules. So it seems to me that some level of transparency is vital to a successful program.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we've looked at it, transparency is probably the number one thing that companies can do better in making a more effective bonus program. One statistic we came across just recently was that a survey completed by Slack on the future of the American workforce showed that 87% of workers surveyed said they want more transparency in their next job. And so it's a huge issue when you get a vast majority of individuals wanting more transparency. It's something that every company can work better on is being more transparent.
I don't know if this is an issue that you can answer, except perhaps maybe as your as an owner of a firm. The new generation of people coming in, are they more do they have higher expectations of transparency than older employees?
From our experience, absolutely. They expect to know everything about it. They've been told, a lot of information has been shared with them from the time they went to school, and they like that immediate feedback on what's going on. And so in summary, yes, they want that information. They need that information. And if they don't get it, they're going to look for somewhere where they can get that immediate feedback.
So what should an incentive plan incentivize then?
So, you know, when we first started, when we first launched this concept in our firm, we called it the Performance Incentive Plan, and we shortened it to the PIP. And if I were to summarize what it is that you want to incentivize, and it's performance. And, you know, we believe that the key metric in performance is profitability. That's kind of the summary or the summation of all of the other performance that they're doing is profitability. And one of the things we found early on was that, you know, we wanted to reward based on profitability. When we took that out of our bonus system for a while, we found that people that our team believed that the profitability wasn't as important to us. So when we put it back in and it became the focal point of our bonus program, it changed a lot of behaviors. Now, I'm not going to say that it changed all the behaviors in a positive way. We found that there were some individuals that found ways to, I guess you'd say, game the system if you focus solely on profitability. And then what we decided to do was, you know what, profitability is where it starts, but we want to motivate or reward based on overall performance too. Start with profitability, then tackle the overall performance. An example of this, you know, that a lot of engineering companies will understand was that you reward on profitability, one of the ways you can make your project seem very profitable is to bill to non-project related tasks or overhead tasks, general overhead time, so that your profitability looks high on your projects, but you're impacting the company's bottom line to non-project related tasks. So that's why we monitor utilization, and every company knows utilization or billability. So we had to find a way to say, you know what, profitability is first, but then you also have to meet utilization targets. And that's how we balanced out overall profitability, you know, overall performance, profits plus utilization, plus several other key factors in our performance reviews. That was where that balance came from.
And this is on a project by project basis. You're not, employee staff is not judged on the entire performance of the company. It's judged on what they have actual control over?
So yes and no. And the reason there's a no to that, so yes, they get rewarded based on their project's profitability, but the amount that we share back with it is based on how profitable the company is. So for example, if the company meets a certain margin in our profitability, we'll share 15% back with the team. But if the company's margin drops too low, we actually cut out all bonuses. So that there's a overall company performance, and then there's some individual performance tied into that.
So one thing you said in your talk that I enjoyed, that I thought was very interesting, was that we reward those who do the tough things. And that sort of speaks to your reference to performance. I mean, what could you expand on that a little?
Yeah, a great example of doing the tough things. One of the toughest things that we have to do as engineers is have difficult conversations. And a lot of times those difficult conversations involve money. One of the favorite things that our CEO says is, we would love to do this work for free. If we could, that would make our lives so much easier. But money has to be part of it. And when you're getting money from clients, having to bill them, that's when the difficult conversations have to happen. What we found when our company, you know, kind of in the trend of things over the years, we had a couple of years where we were quite unprofitable. And we found several instances where our employees were giving away free work. And it wasn't intentional. It was just they didn't really, they didn't understand that when a client asks us to do a big additional portion of work, you need to turn around and say, you know what, we really want to help you guys with that work, but it's going to cost a little bit extra. And having those conversations is a hard thing. It's easiest just to say, oh yeah, we'll cover it. And if it didn't impact the employee or the project manager, the easiest thing for them to do was give them the free work. So when we rewarded them based on profitability, they found that that free work, it impacted them too. So that was one of the ways that we got them to actually buy into this and start thinking like an owner, and have those difficult conversations. There's quite a few other examples. You know, some of the some team members were found to be, you know, initially when we started this, there were some team members that every project they touched was a losing project, and it forced us to have difficult conversations with that individual because the entire team was suffering because that individual was wasting time. So in that way, it rewarded them for having those tough conversations that historically they just avoided.
Looking at how one would implement a plan, what was the process in your firm to implement this? How did you go about structuring it and such?
Well, if I said this was easy for us as a firm, this was a, you know, if I look back at a, you know, since I've been in leadership, there was a 5-year process that we went through to arrive at the result that we did. It involved changing multiple different bonus programs, going from one to another. But what we found is we've taken this solution out and introduced it to other companies. On the implementation side, you start with your leadership group and you develop the plan that you want to use. And, you know, in my firm, we developed a plan that works for us. Not every firm is going to be exactly the same. So the way we built the platform was that it could be very flexible and they could use it in many different ways. So once they've decided how they want to use it and what they're going to do, you start from the top down, you get the leadership buy-in. So the group that creates the plan out to the leadership group, gets their buy-in and addresses any changes. And then they take it down to the management group or the group below them, present it to them, get their buy-in, and then you distribute it to the entire team. So the implementation was, you know, that's a simple explanation of how the implementation went. But overall, it really took somebody championing the effort and then presenting in a very well thought out manner, presenting the why behind doing it. And it couldn't be a why that was, you know, we want our company to be more profitable. It was, hey, you know, our why is we want to shape the quality of life for our employees. And this is one of the ways that we can give back to them to really help them, you know, do more with what they get. So presenting that why, taking it to the group, and then this isn't like that, you know, that oven you see on TV where you set it and forget it. We've had to continually work on this program. If you're looking for a return on this, and we saw some large returns from implementing this program, but you're not going to get those returns if you don't work on it and continually improve it. You could for 1 or 2 years and then it's going to go back to normal, but continually improving it and evolving it over time has been the key. That's how we've implemented it, and we continue to improve it. We change it every year in our firm. As we build more tools or more capability in the tool itself, we're finding new ways to use it and really reward having those hard discussions and doing the hard things.
It sort of goes back to what you were saying at the beginning, that these plans sort of revert to expectations. That if they're not changed often enough, people just get used to assuming that this is something that they're going to get regardless.
Yeah, absolutely.
One point you made was the idea of the why, and how do you teach someone that their impact on the firm's profitability or the project's profitability? How do you get that message across?
So it kind of, for us as a firm, it took, you know, if I were to pick the starting place is when we implemented some core values around that concept. One of the core values we have as a firm is be 100% responsible, and teaching them that every individual has an impact on how the firm is profitable. And we couldn't just say that, we had to show that how every member of the firm really does have that ability to impact the profitability. So for each individual, it's a little bit different. You know, speaking of an engineering firm, your CAD designers, the more efficient, the fewer errors, the fewer red lines you have to fix, that's how they can impact profitability. A project manager, however, you know, his decisions on a daily basis can significantly impact profitability. So it took some intentional effort to really share the message about how each individual can impact profitability. And then once we've defined what that was, kind of put some ground, some framework on what is success for their position, then required regular feedback throughout the process to let them know, hey, guess what? On this job, we weren't as profitable, and here were the reasons why. You know, you tried to do the, you took the design to a level of a, you know, a, just an extreme level. It didn't need to go that far. The client was expecting a, you know, one of the, a Civic, and we delivered a Tesla. So there were a lot of those discussions that needed to happen about profitability, and you can't have a make a research project out of engineering work. Clients don't expect that. So everybody had an impact on it, but it took some intentional messaging to each individual to teach them how they were impacting our firm's profitability.
And finally, on the HourLink, your HourLink business. So it's a platform that, based on your experiences over the past 5 years at Jones and DeMille, but I mean, so much of what you've talked about is the hard work of meeting with the leadership. What bridge does the HourLink program build?
So I guess just a couple things about that. It provides the transparency. It lets you lay out the framework of how, of what it takes for each individual team member to earn a bonus. You know, with every bonus that we pay out, we give a printout of the projects that they worked on during that period. And, you know, the profitability of those projects, or the portion of the profits that they got from that project. So it gives them a complete list of, hey, this is my $1,800 that I received this quarter. This is where that all came from. And we require the team leader or to provide feedback on each one of those projects. In addition to that, there's a performance review portion of the software that provides that balance. So this is where the money comes from, is a list of all their projects and the portion that they get of the profits. And then we balance that out with an overall performance review. And the criteria are different for each individual, but you review that with that team member, provide the feedback they need, and then they can see exactly where their bonus came from. So the transparency was one of the most critical things that we built into it. And kind of most of all, it provides a tool that is put into the project manager's hands. They're the ones that fill out the money. And then it takes it out of the leadership's responsibility to sit in a room twice a year and try and use a spreadsheet out that bonus amount you want to share. You set the groundwork up front and the framework, and then you let your project managers do it. So it made it, took it out of our hands, making all those decisions, and then it made it transparent for every team member to actually be able to see and know what they need to do to receive more, or why they got the amount that they got. So that's what the tool provides, is that transparency and the repeatable method of distributing a bonus to your team.
And it sort of goes back to what you said at the beginning about the people who give the bonus are the people who actually work with the employee, and it's not determined behind closed doors. It's right out there in front of them.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Well, great. Well, we'll put a link to your program in the notes as well. And I think that's about it. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Grateful for the opportunity, and so glad to have the ability to share with these other engineers what we've learned. It's been a really incredible part of, you know, my career. This has been really gratifying to work with these other companies. So I hope we can share more with the rest of them.
Great. You've been listening to the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. Thanks for listening.